Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together and acknowledge the presence of the Lord. Come on and put your hands together. We acknowledge your presence, oh Lord, on today. You could have been anywhere else in Chicago, but you chose to tune in to the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We welcome you to the birthplace of gospel music. We thank you for joining in with us where our pastor is Pastor Daryl in person. We thank you for tuning in today. We want you to do one thing for us today. Please go ahead, if you're watching via Facebook, go ahead and hit that share button. If you're using an iPhone, swipe up. If you're using a Droid phone, go ahead and just tap it one time and the share menu will come up. However it is you share the gospel, go ahead and share this broadcast today. We love you on today. We bless you on today. And here at Ebenezer, we acknowledge the Father, our God today. Come on, let's put your hands together and tell him we acknowledge your presence. Oh, Lord, come on.
We acknowledge your presence, oh, Lord. Oh, come on in.
Yes, sir, come on.
Take a seat.
Yes, yes.
Come on in, take a seat, oh, Lord. Come on in.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Take a seat. Come on in, take a seat, oh, Lord. Come on in. Take a seat.
Come on, come on.
Come on in, take a seat, oh, Lord. Come on in, take a seat. We acknowledge your presence, oh, Lord. Oh,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go to the throne in prayer. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, have your way throughout this service today, God. God, let your word saturate our hearts, God. Let the music of the gospel saturate the hearts of those listening and watching, wherever they may be, God. Break shackles today, loose chains today, heal today, deliver today, and set free today. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture text today comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at the second verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at the second verse, simply reads, "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi." Verse 3 says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the Lord for help. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Well, skip down to verse 10, and it says, "And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou had given us to inherit." Verse 12 says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Ooh, this is my story. Yes, it is. This is my song. I'm gonna sing this song and praise my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. We all should have the same story. This is my story. This is my song. We should be praising, praising our Savior all the day long. This is our story. This is our song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Welcome once again to this, the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We're so very thankful to have you in the place today. And we are just so grateful, and we are praying that God blesses you real good being in the sanctuary or online with us today. I just want to make mention of just a couple of things as we continue in worship today. We are having at Ebenezer, we're going to be giving out Thanksgiving baskets this year. And we're asking you to please contact our church office, our church clerk, if you are desiring a Thanksgiving basket. We want to help not only Ebenezer, but we want to help members of this community as well. And we're also excited about the toy giveaway that we're getting prepared for. Our outreach ministry is leading that effort, and more details are to follow. I want to thank you for all of the persons who supported and helped the blood drive this past week. It was a wonderful start for us, and we will be having another one coming very soon. We are very grateful for what we are doing in the community with the blood drive, as well as our food pantry. We are excited today, and we pray that God blesses you real good. Amen.
I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cry. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. people need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be a greater cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our life for people? People need the Lord. People need the Lord.
Amen. 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 Beautiful.
Amen. 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 Put your hands together again for Brother Jeffrey. God bless you. People do need the Lord. We all need Him. We all need Him. Amen. It's that time of the service where you can do your part. Amen. Amen. It's that time of the service where you can do your part because we need you. The song says, I need you to survive. That's what the song says. So this is your opportunity to give what you can give, with the best that you can give to the Lord so that we can continue the work of the kingdom. It's offering time. Come on, get ready, get excited. It's offering time. It's that time of the service where you can play your part. On your screen right now, you should see all the ways you can give. You can text to give. That's right. Use that good device of yours and text to give. Or you can go right to the Facebook website. I'm sorry, to the Ebenezer website, ebenezerbronzeville.org. ebenezerbronzeville.org, and hit the give button. And whatever amount God places on your heart, go right ahead and use that as well. And if you choose to use the old school way, there's nothing wrong with that. You can mail in your offering or your gift to 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60653. Come on and put your hands together for the offering. Come on, musicians. Play, 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 play.
Amen. We thank you for your generosity. We thank you for your generosity in supporting the work and ministry here at Ebenezer. It is during this time we want to have our altar call this morning. Before we offer our altar call, it is my duty to report that one of our members, Brother Paul Hackett, made his transition on yesterday, and we are praying for his family, Sister Shalanda and so many others of his family. Details for services of celebration will be forthcoming. On our prayer list, we have many persons who have requested prayer. We're continuing to pray for Janie Burns, Lenora Ams, the Burtons, Mr. and Mrs. Burton, Beverly Bogus as she continues to recover, Carol Newman, Sister Conway. We continue to remember in prayer Sister Linda Gray, lifting up in prayer a dear friend of mine, New York, Pastor Keller, remembering his family and praying for his recovery. Remember in our country and as we prepare for elections, we don't know what Tuesday is going to look like. We don't know what the outcome, we don't know what the reactions will be, but we are praying. We are praying that God's will be done, and that all will be well. If you have not already done so, we pray that you will vote and that people will vote. If you're watching on this live stream across the country, we pray that you vote in large numbers. No one can sit this one out. No one can sit this one out. Remembering all those who have been impacted by this pandemic. We're remembering those who have closed businesses and lost jobs, have been put on furlough. We're remembering those who are suffering right now as the numbers are on the rise. Let us go to God and pray. Eternal God, our Father, we come to you seeking your face. God, we come to you first thanking you for another day's journey. Realizing, oh God, that you did not have to allow us to see another day, but you did. And we are grateful, oh God. God, we ask that you would touch those members of our faith community and those beyond our faith community who are standing in the need of prayer. We're asking God for healing in the lives of those who are fighting for their lives. God, we're lifting up those who are bereaved right now. We're remembering the Hackett family right now, God. We pray, oh God, that you would grant them comfort right now in the name of Jesus. God, we need you today. And we ask, oh God, that you see about us, that you see about our city, our communities, our nation, even yet the world, oh God. Have your way, oh God. Have your way in the next 48 hours, oh God. Whatever your will may be, have your way, oh God. Help us, oh God, not to get weary in well-doing. Help us, oh Lord, not to faint or to give up, but help us, oh God, to press forward in your name. God, we're lifting up Ebenezer right now, God. You know what we stand in need of. Have your way in our church, oh God. Grant us your favor, oh God. Show up and show out, oh God, like you never have before. You know what we stand in need of. We believe you're going to do it, God. We believe you're going to give us the breakthrough. And we're trusting and believing that in your name. Have your way in this service, oh God, as we meditate and pray in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. And all of God's people said amen.
I heard of a city called heaven. I started to make heaven my home. A poor pilgrim of sorrow. I'm left in this wide world alone. I ain't got no hope. Got no hope for tomorrow. I'm trying to make heaven my home. Ooh, sometimes I'm tossed and I'm driven. I just don't know which way to turn. Ooh, I heard of a city called heaven, trying to make heaven. Sometimes I am tossed and I am driven. I'm driven, Lord. Ooh, sometimes I just don't know which way to turn. Heard of a city called heaven, trying to make it, make heaven my home, trying to make it, make heaven. Trying to make heaven. Pilgrim of sorrow. storms keep on raging in my life. And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eye upon that distant shore. I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. But if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon that distant shore. I know that He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. Oh, but if the storm they don't cease, just in case those winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Sometimes in this life, we're going to be tossed by the waves and currents that seem so fierce. In the Word of God, I've got an anchor, and it keeps me steadfast, unmovable, despite the tide. If the storms they don't cease, just in case those winds they keep on blowing in my life, my soul that in the Lord, my soul's been anchored. I shall not sway. The billows may roll, breakers may dash. I shall not sway because He holds me fast. So dark the day, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right. Jesus is nigh. My soul,
Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. My soul is anchored in the Lord. That's what you go to the polls with this Tuesday. That your soul is anchored in the Lord. Allow the Lord to lead you and guide you and protect you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Soul's been anchored in the Lord. Yes, yes. Somebody testimony as you look back over these past 8 or 9 months that we have been living under, our souls have been anchored in the Lord. We could have and almost did lose our minds, and it's been a struggle. It's been difficult because it's not over, but we have to make certain that we are anchored in the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for the music ministry today. Thank God once again for Brother Jeffrey Burrish, who has lent his gifts to Ebenezer yet again. Amen. So we want to say, let us get ready to hear what thus saith the Lord. It was already read into your hearing, the text from 2 Chronicles. Just that 12th verse yet again. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I want to speak from the subject. What do you do when you can't do anything? What do you do when you can't do anything? Have you ever been in a place or a situation that was so, so difficult that regardless of how much you struggled to think of a solution or a way out, it seemed impossible? Well, today I want to look at just three situations in the Word of people who were seemingly in impossible situations, yet came out on the other side in victory. The story in 2 Chronicles 2:20 is a tremendous story of a king by the name of Jehoshaphat, who was one of the good kings who trusted in God and in turn led the people to trust God as well in the face of grave danger. Those words in the last part of verse 12 in our text are filled with teaching for all of us today. So my question to you is this: what do you do when you can't do anything? If you were to read this story, it can be a sermon in of itself, as we see that his fears moved him towards God instead of away from God. He set his heart to seek the Lord, and in turn, the people did the same as a fast was declared throughout the land. So often in this life, there are circumstances that come up that couldn't have been anticipated beforehand, so therefore proper preparations couldn't be made. This year started out with so much promise. It started out like any other year as people all over the world shouted in joy as the countdown took place, saying goodbye and good riddance to 2019 in anticipation of what a year like 2020 would hold. I mean, with a year named like 2020, we heard all the slogans, vision for 2020. I can see clearly in 2020. We had heard all of those slogans, but how many in the room wish we were in 2019 again? The circumstances that came on the scene helped us to realize more than ever there are things we may have control over, and there are many things we, in fact, do not have control over. Never, and I mean never, in my wildest imagination did I dream in 2019 about a day coming in 2020 that I would be roaming around Sam's Club to search for the biggest pile of toilet paper before someone else could get to it. And this week I was in Sam's Club and walked right past big boxes of them. This first story I want to look at briefly of people who were in a position they couldn't do anything is Israel at the Red Sea. Y'all know the story. Exodus 14 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal and Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. As the people were leaving Egypt, finally, after 10 plagues had convinced Pharaoh that it was time to let them go, God knew that even after this, his heart would harden once again as he saw his free labor leaving. Verse 2 makes it quite clear that the people were in this impossible place with the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army bearing down on them because God put them there. It says, "You shall camp before it by the sea." While we know that ultimately the people would wander in the desert for a period of 40 years because of their unbelief and rebellion, this was before all of that. They were in what seemed to be on the surface an impossible situation that would require a miracle of epic proportions to get them out of it. Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army behind them. But they were there because it was exactly where God wanted them to be. Somehow, we have become conditioned that when we face impossible situations, it's only because we have been disobedient or due to the faults and failures of someone else. But I have discovered that the Lord was worthy and is worthy to be worshipped even in times of difficulty, just like in times of great victory. Because after all, if we only serve him during when times are all going well, then we are just using God for our benefit. I see in Moses a man who was going to obey God despite the circumstances. He was He was told this in Exodus 14 and 16. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You see, lifted hands can mean many things. It can mean supplication. It can mean praise. It can mean surrender. It can mean authority. Some might throw up your hands, but God says, lift up your hands. I pray that when we come into the house of the Lord or in your sanctuary of your home, in your private prayer time, that you do more lifting up your hands in obedience to worship as opposed to throwing up your hands in desperation. Realize today that there are Red Sea moments in our lives that God leads us to, because it's simply a place where miracles can happen for our own benefit as well as our families. And even that, God would be glorified, as was the case here. I believe that we as a church are where we are because God has decided to put us here. I believe that when we worship, we are able to move forward, even in those times when impossible is ahead and impossible is behind. Hebrews 12, 11 and 12 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I believe that's the scripture my parents loved. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. I love this saying. I'm sure you've heard it. If he brought you to it, he will lead you through it. Not only do we see Israel at the Red Sea, exactly where God led them, but also today we look at Jonah in the belly of the fish. Jonah had been called by God to go to the city of Nineveh to deliver a message of judgment. Yet he decided that was something he just didn't want to do. So he went to the opposite direction and boarded a ship for Tarshish. A tremendous storm, you know the story, came upon them, and it was threatening to take the ship down, as well as all those who were on the ship, including Jonah, who they found in the bottom of the ship sleeping. Without going into the full story, Jonah chapter 1 tells us that it all came down to the fact that Jonah would have to be thrown overboard in order for the sea to become calm. And I can't even say they did it gladly, but they exhausted every means possible up until the point it seemed like certain death for all of them. And they threw him overboard and the sea became calm. Jonah 1:17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in that belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now there are those who would look at the story like this and wonder how this is even possible, or even if it's true. Well, there's a few things we need to consider on this. And the greatest proof to me is the fact that Jesus referred to Jonah in the Gospels. Matthew 12 says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and he said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In addition to that, I think we need to consider the fact that this same God who called this world and all that's in it with his word can surely make it possible for a man to survive in the belly of a big fish for 3 days and nights. This same God who came in the flesh called Jesus Christ, who could open the eyes of the blind and free the demon possessed and make the lame to walk again and raise people from the dead, including himself, surely make it possible for a man to survive in the belly of a big fish 3 days and three nights. What did he do while he was there? You ever wonder? What did Jonah do? I believe he did what any of us do when we realize we've made a tremendous mistake and sinned against God and found ourselves in a predicament of our own making. He prayed. I mean, I believe he prayed for 3 days and three nights. He prayed and prayed and prayed. And what's the song say? Until he found the Lord, while he was still conscious, he thought that perhaps there was still a chance that God would forgive him and help him out of his situation, which is exactly what happened. Jonah 2 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord. The Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapping around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And of course, the story goes on that he finally went to Nineveh to deliver the message God told him to deliver. The people repented. God forgave them. Jonah became angry with God that he would do such a thing, but God's will was done. So it was because of Jonah's rebellion that he ended up in the belly of a fish, because he put himself there. Sometimes, beloved, we find ourselves in impossible situations, not because God led you there, but because he allowed us to go our own way. Yet even in those times, I have found that God is a merciful God who knows how to make our messes and make something beautiful. He knows how to take our reversals and give us progress. He knows how to deal with our shortcomings and extend us grace. He knows how to welcome our failings to turn them into us being victorious. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You may be in an impossible situation today that is more of your own making. Perhaps you've reached the dead end with no way out. Yet there is a way out, and it's called surrendering to God, asking for forgiveness, and then dedicating your life anew to him. So the people of Israel were at the border of the Red Sea because God led them there. Jonah was in the belly of the fish because of his own rebellion. And the last story I want you to look at today is Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Acts 16 says, then the multitude rose up against them
And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Paul and Silas were in jail, not because God placed them there, not because anything they had done in rebellion to God, but because the world placed them there. The story that led to their jailing was when a young woman had been freed from an evil spirit. This led to those who were taking advantage of her, making money became so irate, and they began to make false accusations against Paul and Silas. Act 16 says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw their hope of profit was gone, they realized Paul and Silas had dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city.'" You see, Paul and Silas had impacted their pocketbooks. Paul and Silas freeing that girl from bondage undermined their authority and undermined their power. While this deliverance for the girl in Acts 16 is different, it still set in motion a chain of events that led to Paul and Silas being thrown into jail. Now, I don't know about you, but they could have sat there and said to each other, "Can you believe this? All we were doing was going to the temple to pray, and God allows this to happen to us. Can you believe this? All we did was free a girl from demonic bondage and oppression, and here we are now." Well, what do we find their solution was? Acts 16 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God." Maybe it was Blessed Assurance, I don't know. "And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose." The Bible goes on to say how the jailer thought he was going to have to pay with his life for what took place in the prison, only to find out that Paul and Silas were men of character who loved people and led him and his family to faith in God. You see, their solution was praise, even when the cause of their misery was other people. When they found themselves in a position that nothing could be done, they realized, for a child of God, there's always something that can be done. And it's called worship. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? You may be in difficulty today because God put you there. Or you may be in difficulty today because you put yourself there. You may be in difficulty today because the world put you there. But I am reminded of the word of God found in John, the 16th chapter. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I don't know about you, but I believe there's some overcomers in the room today. I believe there's some overcomers out in Facebook pews, you may find yourself in a position that nothing can be done. I recommend today that you look towards the hills. Look towards the hills from which cometh your strength. Your strength cometh from the Lord. Every one of us. Every one of us must face times and places and situations and crises that will test our faithfulness to God. But let me remind you today that our God is able. I say God is able. He's able to deliver. When you don't know what to do, remember that God is faithful. And with each moment of the indecision, God makes a way. Somebody said he makes a way out of no way. God puts daybreak into midnight. He puts peace in the midst of confusion. God puts healing in the hurt. It's as if God himself says to whatever and whoever it is that stands against his child, you strike him, I will protect you. You hurt and I will heal. You slander and I will glorify. You embarrass and I will honor. You pull down and I will lift you up. You curse and I will bless. You block the path and I'll open up a highway. You close the door and I will open up the door. You muddy my child and I will clean him up until he stands in the spotlessness of my own righteousness. God is able. God is able. When you don't know what to do, when you can't do anything, remember, God is able. He's able to see you through. I believe there's a witness in the room. I believe there's a witness on the Facebook stream that God is able. If God has done anything for you that you know you could not have done for yourself, you need to put in the comment section that God is able. Has God done anything for you that you know you didn't have the power or the wisdom to overcome? But God made a way. I say God made a way. He made a way out of no way. When they thought it was all over, God said, not yet. God said, I have the last word. Is there a witness in this room that God has the last word? God has the last word. God has the last word. The word of God for the people of God and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to open the doors of the church right now. We're going to extend an invitation to you. If you are in the room, we're not taking it for granted, we have a handful of people in our space. We're not going to take it for granted that you are in right relationship with God. We want to give you, afford you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. Perhaps you are on the Facebook stream and you know that you need to be in right relationship with the Lord. Perhaps you are where you are because you put yourself there. Or maybe the world puts you in your predicament. I want you to know that now is the appointed time to give your life to the Lord. And I know that we are living in different times and you can't walk the aisle like we traditionally do and have done historically. But you can
respond, you can call our church at 773-373-6144 and leave your name. Leave your name, and one of our deacons or our church clerk will reach out to you to go over the plan of salvation with you. You can call right now, or you can chat. Send your name through the chat space as we open the doors of the church. Today is the time to surrender. I surrender.
I surrender.
Is there one today? You could come by letter, by Christian experience.
I surrender.
All we desire is that you come.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. I'll daily live.
I surrender.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen, amen, amen. It's at this time of our worship and service that we will celebrate and partake of communion. For those of you who are watching, we give you an opportunity to get your crackers or whatever you have at home, your crackers, your water, your juice, and get it ready. And we will consecrate your elements along with ours as we prepare to sup at the Lord's table. On the night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples and up into the upper room. He prayed over the elements and he broke it and he shared it with his disciples and his friends. Let us now pray over our elements as we prepare to receive this communion. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we are so thankful for your sacrifice. Thankful, O God, for what you have done on our behalf. We ask, O God, that these elements, this cracker, these bread, whatever we may have, will become for us your body, which was broken. And may this juice become for us your blood, representing your sacrifice that was shed for us. God, as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so in remembrance of thee. Sanctify these elements wholly. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.
Oh, the blood.
On the night in which he's betrayed, he said, this is my body. This bread is my body. It was broken for you.
As often as you eat this bread, you do so in remembrance of me. Take, eat to your comfort.
Lose its power. It will never lose its power.
And in like manner, he took the cup of blessings, which represents his shed blood. As often as you drink this, you do so in remembrance of me. Drink ye all of it to your comfort.
Ooh, way, 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 way back. Gone Calvary. Yes, it did. It was the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Will never lose its power.
Everybody in the room, it reaches.
Oh, it reaches. To the highest mountain. Oh,
it flows.
It flows.
It flows to the lowest.
Through the lowest valley. Oh, the blood.
That gives me strength.
That gives me strength.
From day
to day.
It reaches. Come on, one more time.
Whoa,
it reaches.
Oh, it reaches.
It reaches.
To the highest
mountain.
Mountain. And it flows.
To the lowest.
Through the lowest valley.
To him who's able to keep you from falling, to him who's able to present you before his Father with exceedingly great joy, to the all-wise God be dominion and power, honor and glory. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit is our prayer. Amen.